Open up to page Nun Tesam and Aleph, which would be 59.
Going backwards.
Yeah, well, we're doing Mizbeach, so I'm trying to look for different sugyas in Mizbeach. And I think I found one here.
Okay, yesterday it did.
Now, in the Nefesh Tova, what we're going to get to today is in the third chelik, which is here, but I got here early today, so I made some photocopies, because this way you don't have to all share one book. And that's behind you, Don, on the table behind. So you can leave one for Shmuel if he comes, and then Aaron maybe if he wants one. You could take one. One of them will have, the original right. Will be on two pages. You follow what I mean? The copies will have double-sided. So if you see something that's not double-sided,
yes,
then it's probably the original.
And we need one more copy.
Okay then. And here's and here you have the book itself from the Kol El Hakol.
So we'll
or, was it Hakol or Bakol?
Kol El Hakol.
Hakol.
We'll give the voice of Yaakov.
The voice of Hashem. I thought it was Kol Yaakov. I guess I misinterpreted.
We'll give Shmuel the book.
So now on Daf Nun Tesam and Aleph, you want to look like smack in the middle of the Daf, and we're going to learn today Mirtz Hashem. A machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And again, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, excuse me. And we're focused on the issue of Mizbeach. Now, I reserve the rights to talk again about what we spoke about yesterday, Don. You weren't here. It's called Avonim Shlemos, that the stones of the Mizbeach have to be perfect without any cracks, without any nicks. And also, there's an Isser, if you recall, of Lotonif, that you're not allowed to touch the Mizbeach. The stones of the Mizbeach with metal. So I still want to get back to that, and I do have some material for that, but first I think we're going to start with this. Okay, Amar Rav. Okay, now let's see what we know about the Mizbeach. Now when I say Mizbeach, I also mean the Kevesh. And if a Mizbeach is Nifgam, so it has this nick in it, it's Pasul. Why? Because the Torah requires Avonim Shlemos, and we had a whole discussion yesterday about how to create the Mizbeach in such a way that it would be perfect, there would be no separations or layers, it would be what we call Shlemos and not Chalokos. Do you remember that? Not Chalokos. So we would add Sid and Zephes and Kunyan to the mixture, would harden in this form, and we ended up with Avonim Shlemos. But if the stones of the Mizbeach are not Shlemos, if there's a Pogum, a Pgam, that's called Mizbeach Shenifgam, and in such a case, the Mizbeach is Pasul. Now, what we want to do now is focus on the relationship between the Mizbeach and the Avodas HaKarbonos. We'll start with the discussion about Shechita. We'll see if we can go beyond Shechita. If you shecht a karbon, then after the Shechita, you do the rest of the avodas in order to culminate in the Mizbeach, in the Zrikas Hadam. But now we have a problem. Because, and I hate to disappoint you, I know it's a little bit depressing, but we'll try to fix things up. It's a Mizbeach Pogum. And that really gets us upset, because if the Mizbeach is Pogum, then how can you shecht a karbon and bring it on the Mizbeach? Okay then? So now, let's discuss the following scenario. And this is going to be the Gemara of Amar Rav. We have a Baal Chai. We sanctified it. We were Makdish it as a carbon. Okay? And now, lo and behold, at this particular moment in time, the Mizbeach is Pogum. And we went ahead after we sanctified it and we shechted it. Omar Rav, Mizbeach Shenifgam, Kol HaKodshim Shenishchetu Sham. So you had a bunch of karbanos of Kodshim in the Azara, and you went ahead and you shechted it. Rav says, all the Shechitas, all the Kodshim that you did, the Shechita for Psulim. Why? Because the Shechita was done at a moment when the Mizbeach was Pasul, it was Pogum. And the Torah says, Umikra Hayabiyadenu. The Torah is going to tell us that this shechita is a shechita psula. But where is that pasuk? Ushachininu. But we forgot where the pasuk is. Interesting. first time in my life I ever saw that Rav, who's one of the greatest, if not the greatest Amorot that we have, he knew that the halacha was based on a limud on a yalfusa, but he didn't remember what that yalfusa is. But the Gemara is going to come to Rav's salvation and come up with the yalfusa. But again, just to summarize, we're talking about a shechita that was done at the moment that the Mizbech was in what situation? Pogum. Everybody? At the time of the shechita was pogum. Excellent. And therefore the shechita is psula. Okay. Kisolik Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkeche, he found Rabbi Shimon Berevi. He came to Eretz Yisrael. You know, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who authored our Mishnah, was in Eretz Yisrael. And his son, Rabbi Shimon Berevi, was also in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the previous generation of Amoraim consisted of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Ishmael, and many other greats. Now, when Rav Kahana, who's an Amora, comes to Eretz Yisrael on a trip, I don't know how many days of Yontif he celebrated. Anyway, so he meets Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi. Deka'amar Mishum Rabbi Ishmael Rabbi Yossi. So we're going down. This is unbelievable. We're getting a transmission of three generations. Because Rav Kahana is already over the borderline. He's already in the Amoraim. He himself meets Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, who's on the borderline. He's on the other side in the Tana. But he's quoting Rabbi Shimon from the previous generation. Minayin l'mizbeach shenifkam, what is the source for the halacha that if the mizbeach is pogum, shekol hakadoshim shenishchetu sham psulim, any shechita that was done on kodshim in the Azor at the time that the mizbeach is pogum is posul, shenemar because of a posuk, at the end of Parshas Yisro, mizbach adoma tasa li, v'zavachta olav es olasecha v'es shlamecha. And we're going to emphasize the word olav. V'chi olav atazoveach? Do we shech the carbon on top of the mizbeach? You know, there are things that we do on top of the mizbeach, but not shechita. Shechita is done when the kohen is firmly grounded on the rispas hazara. So what's the olav over here? Elav ba, this pasuk is coming to teach us that when does shechita, when can we say the shechita of kodshim is kshera? That's only kshu sholem, when the mizbeach is complete. Velo kishu chaser. So the word olav here is coming to tell us olav means as a result of. Olav means because of. In Hebrew we would say bishvilo. Because the mizbeach is sholem, therefore the shechita can be a valid shechita. And when the Torah says v'zavachta olav, it means that the zvicha depends upon the olav on the mizbeach. You're not going to do the zvicha on the mizbeach, but you need the mizbeach in order to make that zvicha into a zvicha. And that's called kshusholem. Then the zvicha, the shechita is valid, but lo kshu chaser. And that's what we derive from the pasuk olav. When Rav Kahana heard this shtickle Torah, he was very excited, because he knew that Rav, who is his elder statesman, elder contemporary, was bothered by the fact that he couldn't remember the pasuk. Hainu kra dishtamet leil Rav. This is the pasuk that Rav had forgotten about. Okay, so now we have the shita of Rav. Is that the only shita? Rav is saying that if kodshim was shechted at the time the mizbeach was pasul, and when the mizbeach was pogum, it's pasul. Now, if there were other kodshim that were already sanctified as kodshim, but and the mizbeach was pogum, but they weren't shechted yet. They're alive and walking on all four. What happens to that kodshim? According to Rav, it's okay, because now what we can do is we can fix the pagam and the mizbeach before we do the shechita. So as long as the animal, according to Rav, is walking on all four, it's alive and well, the ball game is not over. Again, now that the mizbeach is pogum, you can't be makriv of that, and don't even dream of shechting that korban. But if we can fix up the mizbech and then do the shechita, according to Rav, it's kosher. Rav Yochanan Amar, Echad Zev, Echad Zev Psulim. Rav Yochanan disagrees with Rav in the case of kodshim, which were not yet shechted. The mizbech became pogum, and that took place before the shechita. If you remember again, Rav would say if the mizbech was pogum, then we could fix it up. then we're fine. Then we can go ahead and do Shechita. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, no, the moment that the Mizbech is Pogum, the Karban, which was already sanctified and designated as a Karban, becomes possible. So now even though, says Rabbi Yochanan, you fix up the Mizbech before you do the Shechita, it's not going to help you. It's always possible. So again, let's just summarize one scenario. We'll call it scenario Roman numeral number one. And here there's no machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. They both agree it's possible. Then we have scenario number two, where Rav would say it's kosher and Rabbi Yochanan would say it's possible. So scenario number one is where not only was he magdish the karbon when the mizbeach was pogum, but number two, he shechted the karbon when the mizbeach was pogum. And now, even if he fixes up the mizbeach, the karbon is automatically possible. The mizbeach is perfect now. You cannot do zrikas adam. Why can't you do zrikas adam? Because the karbon became possible. At what moment in time? What's the critical moment? Says Rav that the karbon became possible. Shechita. So at that moment, that's an irreversible psul. Ball game over. Finito. However, says Rav, if the Mizbeach is Pogum and the Kodshim hasn't been shechted yet, now we could fix up the Mizbeach and then we could do the Shechita and the Karban is Kosher. And that leads us to Roman numeral number two. Roman numeral number two is going to be the Machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. He was Magdish a Karban, the Mizbeach is Pogum, and now we fix up the Mizbeach and then they did the Shechita. Rav would say that's fine. As long as the Mizbeach was perfect and kosher at the time of the Shechita, then everything's wonderful. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Since this Karban as Kodshim coexisted with a Mizbeach Pogum, that moment itself passes the Karban. And therefore there's no rectification. Even if you fix up the Mizbeach and then do the Shechita, it's fafalan, it's gone, ball game over, the carbon is possible from the moment that the Mizbeach is pogum, even though the animal is alive and well on all fours. So in other words, you are magdish a carbon, the Mizbeach is pogum, the carbon is possible. You can't bring this carbon. No way, no how. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rav, it's very good. The Mizbeach is pogum, the kashim weren't shechted yet, fix up the Mizbeach, and everything's wonderful. There was never a psul chal in the gufa shel karbon as a result of the pagam. Rav is saying that the shechita is what's going to passel the karbon, not the mitzvah, the reality of the Mizbeach pogum. Everybody have it?
No. No.
Okay, let's go over it one more time. But first, Baruch atah Adi Noi Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Ne'eh B'Dvaro.
Amen.
Can I try to summarize it?
Ben, please.
I'm not going to be able to necessarily attach names to it, but there's one opinion that is, if I can, there is a chance to fix the Mizbeach that's Pogum before Shechita and it's fine. But the other situation is that basically once it's Mizbeach is Pogum, it doesn't matter if it's before Shechita. It's going to be
the case in which both Rav and agree that the carbon is possible is a case where not only was Mizbeach Pogum, but he went and he shechted the carbon.
While it was Pogum.
Okay.
And they both agree on that.
In that case, the carbon is possible.
Right.
So, you might have said, well, okay, so during the time of the Shechita, the Mizbeach was possible. Who cares? Let's now fix up the Mizbeach. We'll go through the Zrika and everything is wonderful. No. The Torah says, Mizbeach Olav. Olav means, I'm sorry, not Mizbeach Olav, but Vishachat Olav. Vizavach Olav. Vizavach Olav. So Vizavach Olav means that the Shechita has to be Olav. If the Shechita is not Olav, which means that the Shechita is not there when the Mizbeach is kosher, then the Shechita irreversibly passes the
Kosher. So if it's they consecrated the animal, it's Pogum, they don't do Shechita yet, and then they fix
up
it,
the Mizbeach,
and then they do Shechita, it's okay.
It's okay. That's going to Rav. Because Rav
Yochanan says no.
Right. Because Rav holds that the critical moment of psul is the moment of Shechita. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, he says, no. The critical moment of psul is the moment that the Mizbeach became pogum, and you have in front of you kodshim. How many kodshim do you have? You may have thousands of them. All those kodshim became possible in one fell swoop, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Irreversibly possible, because the Mizbeach is pogum. Don't wait for the Shechita. Shechita is irrelevant, according to Rabbi Yochanan. you need the Mizbeach to be kosher. If it's Pogum, all the Kodshim are Pasuk. Now, let me introduce scenario number three. Okay, scenario number three. What would happen if the Mizbeach was Pogum before he was Magdish the Karman?
That seems easier to fix.
That would be kosher. In other words, if he can fix up the Mizbeach, then he can kosher up the carbon. He can save the carbon. Okay, but you know what? I'm jumping ahead of myself, because that what I just told you now is called dichui mei kara. Which dichui mei kara means that already at the time of being magdish the carbon, all the reasons for it to be possible were there. That does an impact on the carbon. So if you fix up all those reasons to be possible, you can be machshir. What's the case of Rabbi Yochanan of dichui? Again, I'm jumping a little bit ahead of myself just to get my brain wrapped around this. That's going to be a case where at the moment of Hakdasha, everything was fine and dandy, and then the Mizbeach became pogum after the Hakdasha. So again, everything that we said until now is correct. The scenario in which there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, is the following scenario. He was magdish the karbon, then the Mizbeach became pogum. Rav would say in such a case, you can fix up the Mizbeach and everything is fine because he hasn't done the shkita yet. And Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, since the Mizbeach, in that moment the Mizbeach became pogum, the karbon became irrevocably possible. Okay? And now the Gemara is going to say, "B'mai plebi." What is the root of the machlokas? Rav Sovar Bali Chaim Einam Nidochim. You can't tell me, says Rav, that the principle of dichui. We'll say a few words about dichui in just a minute. Just to translate the Gemara first, you cannot apply the principle of dichui to a live animal. So therefore, when the Mizbeach is pogum, that's a temporary problem. That's what we call a ma'akev, and it's a blockage, but it's a temporary blockage. It's like you have a river, and there's a dam that's keeping the water from flowing. Just remove the dam, and the water will flow. So Rav is saying that as far as a live animal is concerned, the problem in the Mizbeach being pogum is like a temporary dam. Just fix up the Mizbeach and go ahead with it. Why? Because there's no din of dichui in a live animal. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, Bali Chaim Nidochim. So let's say a few words about dichui. Dichui means, and it's a specific kodshim halacha, that if you have kodshim that was rejected, which means there's no possibility of being makriv the carbon behechsher according to the reality that we have in front of us now, that rejects the carbon, so to speak, dichui, from the Mizbeach, and it can never come back in. Dichui creates a psul in the carbon in the kodshim that cannot be fixed up. Now, in the case where he went ahead and he shechted the animal and the Mizbeach is posul, the animal is dead. If the animal is dead, then everybody agrees there's dichui here, meaning that at that very moment of shechita, since the Mizbeach is pogum, therefore there's dichui in this animal, which means that we cannot fix up the situation by improving the Mizbeach. But if the situation was such that before the Shechita took place, the Mizbeach was pogum, then according to Rav, we're not going to apply the principle of dichui because the animal is alive at this point, and ain dichui b'bali chayim, and therefore we have a temporary blockage. You have a problem here. You can't be marked with the carbon because the Mizbeach is pogum. Just fix up the Mizbeach. V'gomarnu.
Maybe this is like a little technical, but does Rav think that there's dichui with regards to dead animals, or is that it's just a gzeira katu, and then therefore like there's nothing you can do?
Well, let me ask you a question a slightly different way. You'll tell me if this would satisfy your curiosity. Is Rav saying that although I accept the principle of dichui, if the animal's alive, that's already... it's already too early. It's too early in the process for dichui, or maybe there's some sort of gzeiras hakosav that a bal chai, as long as it's alive, is impervious to, immune to dichui. But again, in principle, Rav would accept dichui, but there's a separate halacha that as long as the animal's alive, there is no dichui. Again, we don't know yet exactly how Rav is going to prove that.
And why does he bring a verse, though? Why would he bring Shana Amar Zavachta Allah the Dolot HaFad
Yashalach? Oh.
Why wouldn't he just say, you should be dichui?
If we have a general halach of dichui and Rav is on board, he accepts the general halach of dichui. So Aaron asks the following question: why was Rav so eager to find the pasuk? He forgot the pasuk. Rav kind of told him about the pasuk that you needed all of. The answer is that classical dichui would be in the gufo shel karban. Let's say, for example, you have what's called a mum over. So right now the animal is blemished and therefore it's excluded from the mizbeach. Do we apply dichui or do we not? Because later on we can remove the baal mum. Or for example, let's say there was some tumah problem, but we can remove that tumah problem. We can fix up the posel and then we would apply the principle of dichui. Here it's an interesting kind of dichui, and maybe Rav feels compelled to derive this new category of dichui from a posel. This dichui is not inherent in the animal, but it's something that's external to the animal. Now, as we don't know yet, you know, I can give you a list of all sorts of reasons why you wouldn't be able to be makriv the karban, but I'm not sure if that would create dichui. Let's say that every last kohen in the world would be a balmum, or would be an orel, or would be tomei. I don't know if I found such a mitzvah. Would I say dichui? I don't think so, because that dichui is a psul that's external to the person, to the carbon itself. Dichui has got to be in the carbon. There's something about the carbon that became possible. Like, for example, the Gemara speaks about dichui in hadasim. This is the third parak of Sukkah. That if, let's say, there are too many berries on the anaf, then it became possible. Okay, that's Meruba Anofov mi Pirio, or Pirio mi Anofov, whatever it says. So now I remove the berries. So the question is, it was Nidcha from a mitzvah, now became royal mitzvah. So in such a case, we have a din of Dichui. Why? Because there's something inherent in the Hadas, because the berries that it's growing, that makes it possible. But I can imagine other situations where I wouldn't be able to take the hadas for whatever reason. That would not be dichui. And that's what I think Rav wants to derive from this pasuk of his avachta olav, that there's a direct relationship between the dichui and the shechita and the mizbeach itself. The mizbeach now and its suitability for hakrova becomes an inherent, essential element in the avodas hakarban itself, in the kodshim themselves. The kodesh, meaning the behemas kodshim, now becomes nidches because of the mizbeach. That's the chiddush that Rav has to derive. Ben.
We're just saying there are two stages pre-shechita. There's after the animals have been makdish.
Right.
So does anyone argue that before the animal's hekdesh? Like,
oh, so what happens in the mizbeach is pogum, and all he has in front of him is a behemas chulin. So that's called dichui me'ikara. Okay? So it's interesting. The way dichui works, if you want to follow this, is that you need aleph, beis, and gimel. What you need is ro'ui, right? Then it became nidcha, and then it became roy again. What that means is that at some point in time, it was kosher. Something arose, a factor, an episode arose, which now passels the karma, makes it impossible to bring the karma. But that's a temporary kind of blockage, as we said before. Now he removes the blockage, it became roy again. So we're going to apply the principle of dichu. However, if it was never roy, it never had stage number one, that's called dichui meikara. Meikara means from the get-go. So for example, even before he was magnish, the carbon of his bath was pogum. In such a case, we don't apply dichui. Dichui is like a force that operates on kashrus, on heksher. You know, you have heksher, now you have a psul called dichui, for whatever reason. But in the case where it was never kosher to begin with, then that dichui doesn't impact at all. So here's scenario number three. Remember I told you this Roman numeral number three, where even Rav Yochanan would agree, but this time lakashrus. You know, we had Rav who said that it's kosher, and Rav Yochanan says it's possible in the second category, in the second scenario. Now we have a scenario where even Rav Yochanan is going to be machshir the karbon. Why? Because already at the time of the Hakdasha, say a time T1 before he was Magdish, the Mizbeach was pogum. In that case, the karbon was never roy to begin with. So it didn't go through the first stage. That's called dichui meikara. Dichui meikara lav shmei dichui. That's not called a dichui. So therefore you must have a moment in time where subsequent to the HaKadosh of the Karban, or simultaneous with the HaKadosh of the Karban, the Mizbeach was kosher. If that be the case, it became Roy. Once it became Roy, and after the Mizbeach becomes Pogum subsequent to the HaKadosh, says Rabbi Yochanan, at that moment that the Mizbeach became Pogum, there's a Dichui in the Karban. Rav is not accepting that. Rav is going to say the dichui in the karban is only set up or generated by shechita. It's almost as if, according to Rav, getting back to Aaron's question from before about why Rav feels compelled to derive his conclusion from a pasuk, Rav is saying that up until shechita, the animal is not really related to the mizbeach. Meaning, as we said before, dichui has to have some sort of impact on the behemoth's kudshim. You're telling me the mizbeach is pogum. Does that necessarily change the nature of the behemoth? Rav needs a pasuk for that, but the pasuk focuses on what? On shechita. What the pasuk is saying is, at what point in time does the halacha view an inextricable connection between the mizbeach and the karban at the point of shechita? It's only once he starts the shechita that the shechita is already bringing the karban, so to speak, at stage one towards the mizbeach. Now, if the mizbeach is pogum, then Rav says, then we're going to apply the principle of dichui. Now, everything that I told you till this point is what I call pre-Karen Ora. Okay? And one of the greatest achronim, I call this the big three. In my opinion, there are three great achronim on kodshim. And one of them is called the Keren Ora. Okay, the other two, just for your own interest. Again, this is very personal, and anyone out there will just laugh me out of the ballpark. But I think the other two include the following: the Migdash David, who is a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, and the Sfas Emes. Those are the big three in my book. After that, you have a myriad of Sfarim on Kodshim, most of which I never even heard of. And they are quoted here in the Masifta. And then you get down to the real nitty-gritty, which is basically what this Sefer is based on, and that's Reb Chaim, the Brisker Rav, Reb Moshe, and then finally the grid, as he calls it, meaning Reb Beryl Soloveitchik. So that's Kodshim par excellence in the Brisker life. But in terms of the Gdolei Achronim, these three, the Keren Ora, the Mikdash Tovid, and the Sfas Emes are unbeatable. So what we're ready for now is to study this sugya from the perspective of the Keren Ora. Okay? Because everything we said until now is just what I call Pshatovna. That is the best we can do in understanding Pshat. But the Keren Ora is going to dig beneath the surface. So let's open up to the Nefesh Tova. Now, what you should have on the top left of your page is the letter, the number Chaf He, to make sure we're all on the same page. Okay, then? Rashi is going to be the beginning of this sugya, and unfortunately, he doesn't tell you where the Rashi is. We're going to try to find this Rashi, but let's just read his summary of Rashi. I mean, that's not it's a little shoddy scholarship going backwards. But anyway, so we'll find the Rashi in just a second. He says that Das Rabbi Yochanan, Bein Shenishchetu B'Shas Pgimoso, Bein Shenishchetu Achar Tikuno, Psulim Kol HaKodshim, Shahayu Kidoshim Biosa Sholafisha Niru Venidhu Vikasavar Balichaim Nidochim Kishkutim. Okay? So let's look at the Daf Gemara again, just to read the Rashi inside. And Rashi is here. Just one second. Does anybody see the Rashi? For some reason, I'm having trouble finding this Rashi. Just one second. If I don't find it, I don't want to hold us up. We'll just have to rely on what he said. Oh, here it is. Okay. You'll notice that Rashi in the lower part of this page is like a step and then another step in the L shape. So we're looking in the middle step, which is like the beginning of the wide lines, but they're the shorter wide lines. Do you have such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at the Rashi, Dibra Maschel Echad Zeh, the Echad Zeh, on the third of the wide lines. Again, the middle size wide lines. Rashi says, this is Rabbi Yochanan, Bein Shenishchetu B'Shas P'Gimoso, and that's a case where even Rav would agree that if the Pagam in the Mizbeach existed simultaneous with the Shechita, it's possible. But here's the Chiddush of Rav, when he says not only Echad Zeh, but Echad Zeh, is Bein Shenishchetu Achar Tikuno. So it means that it doesn't help, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you did a tikkun and then you did the shechita. Rav would hold if you did the tikkun and then followed the shechita, so that the time of the shechita was back was perfect. That's wonderful, and the carbon is kosher. Rabbi Yochanan says even if you fixed up the Mizbeach before you did the Shechita, and then you did the Shechita when the Mizbeach was, because the very fact that it was Pogum even before the Shechita, while the animal was alive, that itself is enough to generate the din of Dichu. Is Psulim Kol HaKadshim Shehayu Kedoshim B'Osa Shah. Well, now let's see why Rashi emphasized this whole piece here. Nifsalu Kol HaKadshim Shehayu Kedoshim B'Osa Shah. What does that mean? At what point did the transition take place that passel the carbon? You hear what I'm saying? The passelus, if we make the word passel not into a noun or not into an adjective, but into a verb of passelus, when was this the process of passeling the carbon? When did that take place?
For whom?
We're going quick to Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi, I'm saying, goes out of his way to add a whole piece here. Rashi, you know, Rashi is not known to be verbose. You know, he doesn't just add things to fluff it up. When I was in high school, you know, we took this essay exam in music, and I had to pass it. So I gave him a paper. I don't know what I wrote on the paper. Anyway, at the end, he says, "Well, I'll give you a B for all this fluff." That's what he wrote on the paper. So Rashi is not known for fluff, you know what I'm saying? So what does Rashi mean when he points out that at what point in time did these kodshim become posel? What was the critical moment that established a maisa posel in all the kodshim?
Seems like when the mizbeach was...
Exactly, when the pagam happens to the mizbeach. But then Rashi is pointing out that what took place first? I'm giving you a quiz question. Was the Hakdasha first and then the Mizbeach became Posel? Or did the Mizbeach become Pogum and then he was Makdash? Rashi is saying that that all these Kodshim became Posel at what time and through what process? The Pagima. So what took place first?
The Hakdasha.
The Hakdasha took place first. Why is that critical for Rashi? Says Rashi, Lufisha Niru Vinitchu. Because the Pagam and the Mizbeach took place after the Kodshim was suitable, was royal of Mizbeach. Why was it royal of Mizbeach? Because at the time of the Hakadosha, the Mizbeach was perfect. And therefore, Kasover Balichayim Nidochim Kishchutim. The Balichayim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, are subject to the din of Dichui, just like a Shechtin Karmon. Rashi is implying here that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav about this very point, namely, can you set up a din of dichui on a balchai? Rav is holding that no, you have to wait till after the shechita, then it becomes dochli. So if the mizbeach is pogum at the time of the shechita, Rav says that passes the korban. But if the animal were alive and then it became pogum, the mizbeach became pogum, but he hasn't yet done the shechita, then there's no din of dichli. The chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan is that if after the hakdasha, now the mizbeach suffered a loss and it became pogum, at that point there's dichli even though the animal's alive, but only because the animal was roi after he was magdashit. But if the mizbeach has a long, long history of being pogum, all the karbonis that he's magdash would be still be kosher. Why? Because that's not called niru v'nidchu. That would be a case of what? Of dichli meikar. So getting back to the nefesh.
So if at the point of Mikdash, right, it's already pagum, then even Rabbi Yochanan
would say just fix up the mizbeach and bring the korban, because at the time of the Akdasha it was already Eino Roy, because when the Akdasha came into reality, came to the scene, the mizbeach at that point was already possible, it was pagum.
Anything before Hekdesh, let me think about my question, I'm not quite there yet.
You know, it's any psul that you set up and then you amadish the animal, that's not going to have an impact on the animal. Why? Because that's already external to the animal. We need something that comes and passes the korban. If it was chulin, the chulin is impervious to all these psulim. I mean, chulin has no bearing, no relevance to the mizbeach, or the mizbeach has no relevance to chulin. And that's not going to create a din of dichli. Now you amadish the animal, oh, what happened? The moment you magnish out of HaKol Tov V'Yafeh, now you can go ahead and be makar of the korban. That's called roy. Then, to our chagrin, the mizbeach suffered a loss and became pogum. At that moment in time, says Rabbi Yochanan, the animal became nidcha. It was roy, because when he was magnish, the mizbeach was in perfect shape. Now the mizbeach's pogum became nidcha. Says Rabbi Yochanan, you can fix up the mizbeach haint bismargit, it's not going to help you at all. Why? Because of dichli. But if, on the other hand, the mizbeach was pogum before you did the hakdasha, that's called dichli meikara. The animal was never roi.
In which case, if you do all of the kadoshim, it's possible. Because from the very beginning, the mizbeach was pogum.
Again, at the time of the avoda, obviously the mizbeach is kosher.
No, a fool.
No, a fool. The mizbeach was pogum at the time of the avoda sakarban.
It was pogum from the even before the consecration.
No, but I'm saying that's wonderful. Yeah, but I'm saying, is it pogum at the time of the avoda?
Yeah,
then you're in trouble. Unless you go back to the sugya of Ritzvah Sazara, you know.
I'm trying to understand Rav Yochanan. So first it's pogum. That someone comes along and consecrates an animal.
Correct.
And goes through the whole... At that point, what's Rav Yochanan's position?
Here's where Rav Yochanan comes up with a position that sounds like he's contradicting himself. If it was pogum before the Akdasha, then he was magdashid, Rav Yochanan is going to say, in this case, fix up the mizbeach and then go ahead and do the avoda. And that seems to be... what's the word I want to use? Antithetical to Rabbi Yochanan.
Yeah.
But the answer is the animal was never roy. The halacha of dichui, you know, we could write a whole book on dichui. It's like a sugya within a sugya of kachin. And within the rule books, you know, the fine print in Hilchos dichui, it's got to be roy before it became dichui. The power of dichui to reject something in an irreversible way is only because it was roy. You know, it's like there's a catcher and he can receive the ball. So if you have something that's kosher, now you can hit it with a psul, and that psul is going to undermine the kashrus in an irreversible way. But if, on the other hand, the sibas hapsul, the gorim hapsul, was there before the akdosha, that psul is irrelevant. So now what you have to do, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if there was a pgam in the mizbeach before the akdosha, now at this point, after he's magdish the korban, he's got to guarantee that the mizbeach is fixed up, and then go ahead and do the avoda. But if, on the other hand, he was magdish a korban and then the mizbeach became pogum, in that case, even if he fixes the mizbeach from now until doomsday, it's not going to help you because the halacha of dichui.
No, but at the time of makdish, it's pogam. The mizbeach is pogam. So the dikui mehechira
meikara
comes into play.
Correct.
Which means
that there's no din of dikui. Now just fix it up. Again, all of dikui is only relevant to when you fix up the problem. You remove the sibas haposel. All right. So in the first paragraph, he quotes Rashi. And then he says, "Mavur." What we see from Rashi is the Ladas Rabbi Yochanan Tam Sul Bekol Kodshim Shenifkam Mizbech Ein Bali Chaim VeEin Shkutim UMishum Dichui. Obviously, Rashi is operating within the framework of Dichui, but that Rashi that we just read addresses the sheet of whom? Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, then Zev is Zev. Now the Karen Ora comes to the fore. He wants to understand the sheet of Ra. Histapek bidas rav begeder psul nifkam amizbeach. How do you understand the psul and the kodshim that results from the pagam in the mizbeach? Imishum. Here I would write a little letter aleph or a, if you will, whatever you like, because this is going to be a classical chakira. Is it that the shechita atzma psula? It's a psul in shechita. Means the Torah is telling you v'zavachta olav. That means when is v'zavachta a kosher zvicha? That's if it's olav. If the mizbeach is kosher. Bless you. But if, on the other hand, at the time of the shechita the mizbeach is pogum, that's a psul in the shechita. In the shechita itself. Question is whether your sneeze is louder than my voice or vice versa. No, it's okay. I'm just joking with you. Don, you don't mind.
When I used to teach
17-year-olds, they would get very insulted. But you guys are more mature, so I can smash you.
My grandchildren will talk about my sneezes way down the line.
That's right. They'll hear. Hopefully, they'll listen to the shiur.
Don wanted to discuss if the Rav Gesundheit is
connected to the sugya. The Teferes Yankin, Rav Yaakov Gesundheit. It's a cool name, no? I was thinking of using that name for myself. Okay, now we're up to O. So you might want to underline the word O, because now we get to the second side in the Keren Ora. O, Mishun Dichui. Simply, Rav is operating with Dichui. He doesn't have the Dichui in a Bal Chaim situation. And the earliest moment that you can apply Dichui according to Rav is when the animal drops dead, for whatever reason. And there's no dichui for Balei Chaim are immune to this new psul, this new halacha called dichui. But once he shechts the animal, and the mizbeach is pogum at that moment, now the there's no possibility of doing zrikas adam at this point until you fix up the mizbeach, and now we have a psul of dichui. Ella what? As long as the animal is alive, so let's say, for example, the mizbeach became pogum when the animal is walking on all fours, so Rav says the animal is immune from dichui. But now that the animal with the shechita is dead, now you can apply the principle of dichui. And dichui means that since the mizbeach is pogum, the kodshim are no longer ru'uyim la'avoda. You know, there's no way that you can follow through with zrikas adam on a mizbeach that's pogum. And therefore, since the kodshim are not ru'uyim l'mizbeach, at that point there's a psul of dichui. And the din of dichui tells me that even if you would fix up the mizbeach, it's too late. It's fafalin. It's a done deal. Now again, at this point in life, I would have submitted to you that this is a very abstract chakira. Two ways of understanding Rav. But my nafkamina has it cut. Ice. That's how the lawyers say it. That's what I learned from my friend who's a lawyer. But in Hebrew we call it, which is actually not Hebrew, it's Aramaic, nafkamina. Nafkamina literally translates as hayotze mimenu. What comes out of this? So again, let's review. There are two ways of understanding Rav, claims the Karen Ora. And Lechora, they're just abstract theoretical definitions that have no concrete significance. You know, you could ask me whether the cup is half filled or half empty. That's a telza chakira. That doesn't give me anything substantial. So you can tell me what Rav is saying, that the shechita is only a shechita kshera if there's a mizbeach which allows for the avoda, and that's called the zavachta olav. We can say no. Rav is operating with the din of dichui. Just he has one problem. As long as the animal's alive, there's no din dichli. The animal's impervious to dichli. Now that the animal's dead through shechita, now we can apply the principle of dichli. So again, you have two definitions of Rav. What's the mechanics of Rav? What underlies Rav's shechita? But my nafkimina. So here, in the Nefesh Tova, we're going to come up with no less than three nafkiminas, maybe even more. And again, when you learn a nafkimina, it really clarifies the whole issue. Yesterday, at 8:30 at night, we had a chakira about something in Korban Pesach, which is called Shachto Shalolim Nuyav. You know, in Korban Pesach, you have to have manui. And he went and he shechted for a different chabura, but that's not connected to this Korban Pesach. So the chakira we had yesterday is whether or not that's identical to what's called in classical kodshim Shinui Bailim, where he shechted it not for Ruvein, who's the Bala Korban, but on behalf of Shimon, who's not the Bala Korban. And we came up with four nafkiminas between Shalolim Nuyav and Shinui Bailim, which really clarified that the two separate halachas, you know, Pesach is a very unique korban in the entire matrix in the constellation of korbanos.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
So the Karen Ora is saying that Rav says that if at the time of Shechita
Wait, Don, can I stop you for a second?
Sure.
The Karen Ora is saying, I don't understand Rav. That you have to start the discussion.
Okay, okay.
Because if you say the Karen Ora says X, then you're in trouble because he also says Y. He vacillates.
No, that's what I want to understand.
Yeah.
That's the point I want to understand.
Yeah.
So at the time of Shechita, the Mizbeach is Pogam, and we originally learned that Rav says...
The Korban is Pogam.
Because he applies... He doesn't apply the Kohen.
Wait, one second. The Korban is Pogam. Now, Rav doesn't use the word Dich.
No, but he says you can fix it, right? You can fix it.
No, if at the time of the Shechita, the Mizbeach is Pogam, you can't fix it. That's irreversible. That's the case where Rav agrees. Well,
when you say at the time of Shechita, the animal was shechted?
Yeah.
If before Shechita, Rav says, I can fix it up.
Correct.
All right.
But fix up the Mizbeach, then Shechita.
Right, but once I've done Shechita...
And the Mizbeach is Pogam.
Right, then Dachui comes in, and therefore it's possible.
So that's, again, when you mention the word Dachui, that's one... The Karen Ora's vacillation.
Okay.
Let's go back to the first side. You're already in the second side. The first side of defining Rav has nothing to do with Dichli.
I thought I was still in the first side. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, it doesn't matter, first or second. The order is not significant. I can switch it around. It's a spec they got misapephes.
Okay.
The first side is the following. This has nothing to do with Dichli.
Okay.
When we learn the laws and regulations, or shall we say the requirements and conditions of any of the four avodos, we look into the law books, we look into the Torah, we see what conditions have to be met, and if they're not met, then the avodah is possible. There may be conditions in Zrika, there may be conditions in Kabbal Saddam. Now we're talking about the conditions of Shechita. When does the Shechita qualify? For example, let's say a guy would do the Shechita, the Korban. Or let's say you did Malika instead of Shechita. That would be a complete psul in the Korban. So there are various regulations that apply to Shechita. In the first side, the Karen Ora suggests the following definition of Rav. There's a new condition in Shechita that's being derived from the Pasuk of Zavachta Olav, and that is that the Mizbeach has to be kosher. If it's Sholem, then fine. If it's Pogum, then the Shechita is a Shechita Psula. It's Halach in Hilchah Shechita.
Aha, okay. Not in the Korban.
Do you remember, maybe, Don, I don't want to confuse you, but we once had a similar idea. What happens if he shechts the Korban? Al Menas Lizrok Dama Chutzim Komo. Is that a Psula Nizrika? Or is it Psula Nizrika? Do you remember we once touched on that? Okay. Because if at the time the Shechita had the wrong Machshava, but that Machshava was vis-a-vis Nizrika that's coming around the bend, does that already... Pasul the Shechita. He's saying that in Hilchas Psul Shechita, the first side of the Karen Ora, there's halach that if the Mizbeach is Pogum, the Shechita is a Shechita Psula. Gamarnu, Dayenu. Throw it out. Okay. The Shechita is Psula. Second side is no. There's halach of Dichu. Basically, Rav is saying that whenever you have a Korban, and for whatever reason you cannot follow up with this Avoda of Shechita, and do what you have to do, which means ultimately culminating in Zrika, that's called Dichui. There's no way at this moment in time that you could do the Avod on this Karban because there's no Mizbeach. And if that be the case, then the carbon itself becomes nidcha. There's a new psul, you know, new arrow that shoots at it shoots down this carbon and passes it called dichui. In truth, if Rav is holding dichui, he could have gone a step further and accepted Rav Yochanan that even if before the shechita the mizbeach was pogum, again I'm going to apply dichui. But the answer is there's no dichui b'balei chayim. An animal during its lifetime is immune from dichu. But with the shechita, and the animal is now dead, there's dichu. What's the difference? Who cares? It's all abstract. In Brisk, we don't accept abstract chakirus. Because those are linguistic, conceptual chakirus. Is it half empty or half full? Who cares? Oh, so first nafkimina. Okay. Nafkimina number one. Let's keep a scorecard here. Im shachat simon echad bishas pegimas hamizbech. Now watch this. The animal is still alive. The animal dies after you shecht the second simon. That's a premise. You'll ask the biologists. We're not, but that's the premise we're operating with. Oh. Now, if you recall, Rav is of the opinion that Bali Chaim, as long as they're alive, are immune from what? From Dichli. So in this case, the Mizbech became Pogum between the first Simon and the second Simon. The animal is technically still alive. But nevertheless, the Shechita is not a Shechita until he finishes the second Simon. There's no such thing as Shechita of a Simon Echad. There may be Malik of a Simon Echad, possibly in the case of Ola Sa'of. Okay, fine. But as a general rule, we need both Simon, correct? So he says the following. Ipsul he has to have a shechita ksheira from beginning to end, from first semen, including the second semen. Now we got the second semen, the mizbeach is pogum. The second semen is an invalid shechita. If you hold like the first side in the Keren Orah, that Rav's intention is to passel the shechita. The shechita, unless the mizbeach is kosher, and it's not vizavachta olav, is not going to be a good shechit. I don't care whether it's the first simon or the second simon. There was already a pgam in the mizbeach at the time of the second simon. The shechita can't be kshera. Aval iapsul mishum dichui lo mifsal diakati balchayimu the balchayim ainu nidochim. The animal is still alive. So this is not just an abstract chakira, Marbosai. This is very practical. Next time you shecht the first simon and the mizbeach becomes pogum between the first simon and the second simon, which is probably going to happen any day now, right? Yeah. So in such a scenario, you got to know which side in the Keren Orah's chakir is correct. The Od Nafkim, you know, on the top left column. Behemos shehukdashu v'nishchitu kshehu pogum. Now, this is interesting. Okay. He has a behemoth. He was magdish the behemoth. Then he shechted it at the time that the mizbeach was pogum.
Before he was magdish.
One second, give me a second hour just to get my head wrap around this. The iapsul mitam dichui havi dichui meikara v'kosher. Yeah, go ahead. Now I'm ready for what you said.
First the mizbeach was pogum, then
the next. So let's check. Now we're going to, in the second half community, we're going to switch around the chronology, the scenario in terms of its sequence. And the first thing that happened was that the mizbeach became pogum. The second thing that happened was he took a bema school and he was magdashit. The third thing that happened was that he fixed up the mizbeach. Then he went ahead. And he did the avoda. If Rav is talking about dichui, so since what happened, what was magdim? What the pgam in the mizbeach was magdim. The hakdasha, that's called what dichui meikara. But on the other hand, maybe I didn't say this right. What I meant to say is the following. Let's start again. The mizbeach became pogum. Then he was magdish to behemoth. Then he was shochet to behemoth. And then they fixed up the mizbeach. So the Mizbeach is now royal Zrika. You can do the Zrika because he fixed up the Mizbeach. However, at the time of the Shechita, the Mizbeach was Pogel. If Rav is operating with the din of Dichui, since the first thing that happened was, in our scenario, the Mizbeach became Pogum, it means therefore that the very moment he was Magdash, it was already Nidcha. It never had a moment of Roy. That's called Dichui Bekaris. So if Rav is operating within the framework of Dichui, in this case, and this is certainly Rav Yochanan's opinion, the car would be kosher. Why would the car be kosher? Because he can do the Zrika. Correct? Are you going to tell me, but at the moment of the Shechita, there was Dichui? The answer is there's no Dichui because the Mizbeach was in a sad state of Begimah even before he did the Hakadosh. But if I'm going to say that Rav is being Machadish, this is the first definition of the Keren Orah, of Psul and Shechita, that Shechita can only be a Kosher Shechita in Kodshim if the Mizbeach is Sholem, but now the Mizbeach was Pogum at the moment of the Shechita. The Shechita is a Shechita Psul. So it's interesting, if you compare the two Nafkaminas, in the first Nafkamina, we were going to be Makil because of... In both Nafkaminas, the tzad of Dichui is Lekula, either because the animal is still alive after one Simon, or because there was a Hakdosha after the Mizbeach was Pogum, so it was already Dochim Eikara. And in the second tzad, if we assume that it's a Psul and Shechita, we're going to be Machmir, because if the Mizbeach was Pogum at the time of the second Simon, and how much more so of time both Simon, and then the Shechita is a Shechita Psul. So just to summarize, in these two Nafkaminas, if I go with Dichui, it's Lekula, and we can be Machshir the Korban. If I go with a Psul and Shechita, it's Lechumra, and the Shechita is a Shechita Psul. Now he wants to suggest a third Nafkamina. And this has to do with Chatos HaPnimios. And he Shechted the Korban at the time of Mizbeach Pogum, Di Apsul Mishum Dichui, Lekamem Dichui, Mishum Shedino Lizorek Al HaMizbeach HaPnimi. Oh, so the Pegima happened in the Mizbeach HaChitzoni. So Mizbeach HaPnimi is a perfectly good Mizbeach. So that as far as Zrik is concerned, this carbon, this chatos pnimis, is royal lizrika. Aval I avi psul b'shchita, im kem avi din b'chol ha-karbonos sheyishketu, kisham mizbeach hachitzon kayim. In other words, the pasuk of v'zavachta olav, the word olav is referring to which mizbeach? No, the mizbeach hachitzon. That, you know, when we talk about mizbeach with the hey ayidia, it's a little bit counterintuitive. We refer to mizbeach hachitzon. So whenever the Torah is describing a Mizbeach, with a very rare exceptions, it's talking about the Mizbeach HaChitzon, even though you might argue the Mizbeach HaPnimi is even more sanctified. You know, the Chatos HaPnimis and Yom Kippur are going to go inside, and the Torah Sakhtoris is inside, and it's in the Heichal, which is almost like the Kodesh Kodoshim. But as far as your general... you know, general faceless Mizbeach, if you have the word Mizbeach, then the meaning of Mizbeach is Mizbeach HaChitzon. So if Rav is deriving halacha in Psul Shechita, then the Psul Shechita is going to be Chal if at the moment of the Shechita the Mizbeach HaChitzon was Pogum. And once again, I think, following the pattern that we started with in the two nafkaminas, once again, Dichui is Lekula and Shechita is Lechumra. Why? Because in this case, where are you going to do the Zrikas Adam? It's a Chatos Pnimis. In the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaPnimi is Sholim v'Gomor. It's kosher Yosher. It's got a Satmarash Gochan. It's perfectly a Badatz Hechsher. It's perfectly kosher. So there's no din of Dichui. But if it's halacha that Mizbeach determines the Shechita, and the Mizbeach is the Mizbeach HaChitzon, since the Mizbeach HaChitzon was Pogum at the time of the Shechita automatically becomes a Shechita Psula. The Kosav HaKeren Orah, Lo Chiyach, Davi Psul B'Shechita. So if you read the language of Rav carefully, and I think, Aaron, this is your point from before, let's see if I'm right, he says the following, he's emphasizing what? the shechita. That if the mizbeach is pogum, then any carbon that was shechted is pasul. Mashma, it sounds from his language that the shechita itself generates the psul. But here's Aaron's point from before. Aaron, you could have written the next paragraph. Okay? And I know you have a nefesh tova, you have a very good nefesh. So he says, V'chein mid itzrich kra. The Rosh Hashiva here is quoting the Keren Orah. It's a beautiful chap of the Keren Orah. Why do I need a pasuk over here? So I gave a whole shtickle Torah that this is not classical dichui because it's not inherent in the carbon. The Keren Orah is not operating with that. He wants to know if the carbon is eno roy, meaning there's no possibility, whether it's in the carbon or external to the carbon, to be makir of the carbon. And here in this case, the reason for that is because the mizbeach is pogum. I don't need a pasuk for that. That's a classical case of dichui. Whatever sibo, whatever occurrence, you know, episode comes up which makes it impossible to be makriv, that's called dichui. But if you're being machadish a whole new psul in shchita with all the chumras that we mentioned before, three chumras, then for that we need a pasuk. Umi idach. On the flip side, the Keren Orah is moda that the hemshech hasugya doesn't sound like what he thought was the essence of Rav. Umi idach. Kasav, the Keren Orah writes that me pluta de Rav Rab Yochanan near the time of the Rav Mishum Dichui Hui. Who? And what does Rav say? Why does he disagree with Rav Yochanan in the case where they fixed up the Mizbeach before the Shechita? Anybody home? Why does Rav disagree with Rav Yochanan according to the Gemara's formulation in the case where they fixed up the Mizbeach before the Shechita? Exactly. So you see that, and we saw it in Rashi also, that the whole focal point of the Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav is about Dichui. How far, what's the scope or the application of Dichui? The Kamar Kol HaKotshin Shenishku Shom Hainu Shenishku Ad Shalom Nifkam Upsula Mishum Dichui Deshochtim Deshchutim Nidochim Eitzel Balichayim. I'm sorry. That's what Rav is saying. So Rav is also operating, standing on the shoulders of Dichui. I'm a nishkatu b'shas b'gima samizbeach ksherim. One second. What is this? I'm a nishkatu b'shas b'gima samizbeach. He's talking about a case where already before the Shechita it was pogum. I think it means before the Akdosh. Okay, I'm not sure. Havi dichui beikar v'lo havi dichui. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu nifkam amizbeach k'shem chayim psula midin dichui debali chayim nidochim. Ulefi zeh ikar kra osi la... Oh. Now let's see if he'll say what I wanted to say. So now you have to ask yourself the question, if you're operating with dichui, so why does Rav need a pasuk? And he says, "Iker kra osi lashminin da azrika psula b'mizbeach pogum u'memela havidichu." Not sure exactly. He sounds like he's posting al shtei asifim. He's operating with both definitions. So the pasuk is telling me that the shechita is no good. You know, as if he went ahead and he did the shechita, it would not be a kosher shechita because the mizbeach currently is pogum, and that memela generates the din of dichui. Here, mashikosav the mipluk to the rav Rav Yochanan near the memra the rav that the shechita of rav is mitam dichui tzarich bir kavanoso the omnam avur the time of the Rav Yochanan mishum dichui. But the Gemara never says and commits rav to the position that he accepts and he's operating with dichui near a kavanoso. It seems to me that what the Keren Orah has in mind. Is midakomar ashas b'maykom mifugli rab so balichayim einam nidochim. E name at the time of the rab mishum psul shchita kshemizbeach pogum velav mishum dichui ikal name of the rab nami svirle the balichayim nidochim. Could be that rab would hold like Rav Yochanan balichayim nidochim. The hadika amar kol hakodshim shenishkatu shav psulim haynu the ikal psul shchita b'shchita atzma. In other words, where it would be a dichui meikar situation. Dichui Mehod Yomar Ashas, the time of the Rav Mishum Dichui near the Lekab Sul Shkita. Again, if Rav, this is what the Karen is bothered by. If Rav indeed is predicated on a psul and shkita, that since the mizbeach is not kosher, therefore the shkita is psula, then when the Gemara tries to explain Rav, why does the Gemara say that there's no dichui in Bali Chayim? On the contrary, there is dichui in Bali Chayim, but there's a new psul of shkita. The nafkamina would be when you cannot apply the principle of dichui. For example, if it was a dichui meikara, you still would be possible because of the shkita. So let's see if we can do one more paragraph and then I'll let you go. He says, "Umash kosva keren ora demid the itzra kra divazavachta olav muchatu psul shchita divishum psul dichui ein tsarach laikra lusol hamizbeach lizriko kshenifkam toksiv avonim shlemos." So we've already established from the pasuk of Avodim Shlemos that if there's a pagam on the mizbeach, then you can't do zrika on such a mizbeach. The mizbeach is commando lesser domain. So if that be the case, in the case of a shchita when the mizbeach is not sholem, is I know automatically that there's no shchita kshera here, and that would apply by virtue of the psul of dichud. I am Pirush Rashi Bechulin, shekos of the psul mizbech shenifkam lizrika, yalfina mikra, viperakotchi kotchim, minichsib is avachta ola, bizmanchu sholim, lo bizmanchu chose, bainu the mihai kra, yalfina ikr psul pigimas hamizbech. Wow. Do you hear what's going on here, Rabosai? This is a little bit of a curveball in the whole sugya. We'll finish up with this. This is food for thought. Although I know you're still working on the sugya of Vehenif as Barzal, but and maybe we'll come back to that next week. Rashi has a shita chulin that the source for the halacha that a mizbeach pogum is possible is not the pasuk of Avonim Shlemos, but rather the Zavata Olav, our pasuk. So Rav needs a pasuk to establish that there's no way of doing the avoda on this mizbeach because it's pogum. That's what Rav was looking for. He wasn't looking for a pasuk to establish dichui that we know, correct? But he needed a pasuk to establish that the avoda on a mizbeach pogum is psula because the mizbeach is possible. How do you know the mizbeach is possible? We know it from the pasuk of Avonim Shlemos. Rashi learns it from the pasuk of Zavachta Olav. So just to review the mechanics here, the Karen Ora wanted to say that from the fact that Rav needed a pasuk, it seems that he's setting up a psul shchita. If it was dichui, he wouldn't need a pasuk. The answer is he needs a pasuk to even get the ball rolling on dichui. The very premise of dichui is that you can't do the avoda. Why can't you do the avoda? Because the mizbeach is pogum. Who tells you can't do an avoda on the mizbeach that's pogum? The answer is after all, that's what Rav wants to establish. The male of Rav is Eino Chinami built on dichui. You'll ask me the kasha, so why do I need a pasuk? Well, dichui applies when there's no possibility of doing the avoda. How do you know you can't do the avoda? Mizbeach is pogum. So Rashi says in Chulin, who tells you that mizbeach that's pogum is not royal avoda? It's possible. The answer is the pasuk of Zavachta Olam. So when Rav quotes the pasuk Olam, he's just setting up the framework, the basis for dichui.
That goes back to Aaron's question, about why does he need a pasuk?
No, but what, you know, the answer to Aaron's question, according to Karen Ora, was that there's a new psul in shchita with all the nafkaminas that we mentioned. Has tremendous repercussions down the line. But now the Karen Ora is saying that if you hold that it's a din dichui, why does the Gemara quote a pasuk? So the Rosh Hashiva is saying, what the Karen Ora may have missed here in this picture is a Rashi and Chulin. The Rashi and Chulin says the source for the halacha that if it's Zbech has to be Sholem and if it's Pogum it's Possel is this Possel of Zavachta Olav. And therefore when Rav quotes this Possel Olav, Eino Kinyami is operating me din dichui, and the Karen Ora asks the question if it's dichui, why does he need a Possel? He needs the Possel to make it into dichui. Dichui by definition means that it's not royal Lizvicha, it's not royal Lavoda. Why? Because it's pogum? Who says that a mizbeach pogum is therefore not a mizbeach? I like the mizbeach. I'm very attached to it. Okay, it has a little bit.
you know, next time I put my thumbnail through the mizbeach, it's going to get caught at some point. I can overlook that. So we said, and this was our whole discussion yesterday, that the reason why and the source for psul of pogum is because of avonim shlemos. Rashi, to our surprise, and again, I don't know what he's going to do with the sugya of avonim shlemos. Rashi says the psul is written here inherent in this pasuk mizavach olam. So if Rav is quoting mizavach olam within the framework of dichui, he needs that pasuk desperately in order to build a case for dichui and say that at the time the shkita of the mizbeach is pasuk, therefore the carbon is pasuk. All right, Rav Olsai.
Thank you very much.
Very full week this week. I mean, we covered a lot. I'm still interested in Mizbeach, so whatever I can squeeze out about the Mizbeach, I'd like to. Where is the Sugya Bias HaMizbeach? What daf is it on?
Nunvav?
Nunvav? One second, do I?
Nundalad or Nunvav?
I don't have the right chalif here. Can you do me a favor and open up Nundalad and see if you can find the Midas of Mizbeach? I'll tell you why. Because, yeah, I think you're right, it's on Nundalad. Because I wanted to see if by any chance he discusses Midas of Mizbeach. Remember we went through Rav Soloveitchik's Chiddush? Mm-hmm. That Midas of Mizbeach is a din in Beis HaMikdash. It's not really din in the Mizbeach, and therefore you could be Mosif and this and that. There was a steer of the Rambam, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just wondering if the Rosh Yeshiva has any Torah on the Midos of the Mizbeach. So it's very nice because I think they really improved this when they got to the third volume. The third volume tells you on each page what daf they're up to.
Nundal,
and where is the Midos? These are all the Midos of Mizbeach?
Towards the end, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so which chelik is Nundalid? I think Nundalid maybe is going to be in the second volume. Where's the second volume? This is the second volume?
Yeah.
So let's just see. I'm curious to know if he has anything on the Midos HaMizbeach. Ah, he has Torah on the Yisod, about the Yisod and the Sovev. So maybe it's kedai for us to look at that. Kiddushas Makom Yisod. What's the one before this? Oh, Keren Dromis, Mizrachis, Machlokas, if there is a Yisod or not a Yisod. I don't know. You know what? Over the weekend, I'm going to look this over again. It's going to require us to go through, you know, with a fine tooth comb, the Sugis inside. Was Yehuda in on this shit today? No.
Yeah, he listened, but for some reason the video wasn't working.
Ah, so he heard the video part? I mean
the audio
part? Yes. Yeah. So take a look, Rav Olsai, in this chelek, which is called Beis, he's got like pages and pages about the Yesod HaMizbeach. And especially Keren Dromis Mizrachis that we said there was no Yisod. So I don't know. I'm not sure if it's Kedai to go back to that. On the other hand, Rav Olsai, let me throw out another possibility. You know, I'm trying to move ahead in my own learning fast pace. Because I didn't give that up. Even though I'm giving two shiur daily on a more of an even level. But I haven't given up the fast pace. And I'm getting to sugyas about Malika. And there's something fascinating going on here in the case of Malika. We're talking about Korbanos HaOf. And that is that if there was a psul in the Malika, it could be categorized under one of two categories. It's either that it's not a Malika at all. Like, for example, let's say he does the Malika with a knife. That's not called a Malika. And then there's another category, Malika Psula, where it really is a Malika with a Psul. Like, for example, let's say the Malika was done by a Zar, a non-Kohen. So the Gemara wants to say that, look, Shechita can be done by a Zar in the case of Behema, and therefore Malika can be done by a Zar in the case of Oath. But the Torah says that the Malika of a Zar is not kosher. But anyway, it is a Malika. And then Afkamina is going to be,
whether or not im olu yardu or yelo yardu. If it's not a malik at all, then just take it off the mizbeach and just throw it into the rubbish. But if it's a malika, then at least that malika would set up halacha of im olu lo yardu. Does that interest you at all? Because the Gemara goes through various categories, and what we're going to get back to is onen and tomen. What happens if the malika was done by an onen? Do you remember how we had a whole discussion about the onen?
It's interesting. I mean, speaking for myself, but also it would help the Rav to be doing the fast pace and have the yun as
well. By Sunday, I mean, this whole sugi malika will be far gone in the annals of history as far as Berzon is concerned. Because when you move at a fast pace, you're lucky if you remember what you did a day ago, let alone a week ago. You know what I'm saying? It just keeps moving and keeps going. So it's funny, I come here early, so it's at a certain early hour, and I would, anyone who can't sleep at night, this is a very good recommendation. Open up Kol Chai. Have you ever heard? It's from Yamin Boletsky. And the man speaks faster than I'll ever be able to speak in my life, but what he packs into an hour is amazing. And like, he's doing Daf Samach Aleph or something like that, I don't remember exactly, and like, I'm listening to the shiur and I'm saying, yep, that sounds vaguely familiar. Did I do that Daf? You're saying, it just goes by so fast. So I assume those who've done Daf Yomi like 50 times in their life, you know, for them, it like really sticks in there. Or maybe there are people who do Daf Yomi and then they review it. That's the way to do Daf Yomi. I don't know.